Hello, everyone. It's time again for the Living Letter Ministries radio broadcast. Like always, God is good and he is mightily moving by the Holy Spirit. He has so many wonderful things to say to his people. He loves his people. One thing about God, he loves you and me. We are very important to the Lord. And he has so many things to say. He's seeking to bless you in every way of life. And God is mightily moving by his Spirit on your behalf. When he calls ministers to the gospel, it's so that he can reach people. We are his hands and arms. He reaches out to people through men and women of God. And the Lord is not restricted unless we restrict him. Some people say, yes, Lord, I'll go. And they go. Some people say, yes, Lord, I'll go. And they don't. And some people say, no, I don't want to do that. And they run. It's so important for people to hear God out. My daddy was called to the ministry at the age of 15. And he ran. When World War II broke out, he joined the army running from God. And he was in China. He worked on the Burma Road. He was an engineer. He drove a motor grader. But he got in some water over there. And he said he was underwater long enough to drown four men. And when he got out of that water, he went straight to the chaplain and let him know that he was called to preach, and he started preaching. And he was trained. And he stuck with it. Because he loved God. What he was afraid of, he was afraid of the responsibility, but when he embraced it, he loved it. And God loves us so much. He called some of the most unusual people to preach his gospel. And my daddy stuck with it. He was he pastored before I was born, and he passed in 2010. And he was faithful. He and my mother, they paid for three churches over the course of their life. And they didn't do it for the money. I saw one of his retirement checks from the ministry, and it was not much at all. But he worked, and he worked hard in the ministry. And it's important to follow God. It's not about the money. It's not about the prestige. It's about life. And he worked at U.S. Pipe right here in Birmingham, in the Cottageville area. And every Saturday, he'd drive to Utah, Alabama, when I was growing up. That's about an hour and a few minutes away from Birmingham. And then he'd spend the night and preach that Sunday and drive all the way back, be back to work at 6 o'clock in the morning. Did this all my life. Dedication. When people dedicate themselves to the Lord has something to work with. Somebody's got to do the job so people can hear the gospel. We don't operate like we think we do. Whatever you do in this life, that's because that's what's in your heart. Your conclusions, your will is formed in the heart. If you want to change something, old habits, if you want to start doing new things, many people are making New Year resolutions now. If you don't change it in the heart, it's not a lasting change. It's an attempt. Now, we talked about the heart last broadcast, and we're going to go there again. Romans chapter 10, verse 9 says, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart, that's the part I want to get to. Believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Salvation starts in the heart. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made to salvation. What gets in our heart gets in our mouth. If you want to know what a person is like, just listen. They're going to tell you. Nobody hides what's in their heart. It's coming out. Whether they love you, whether they don't, whether they think you're strange, whatever it is, whatever's going on in their heart, that's what's going to eventually come out of that mouth. You know, when people preach the word, people hear it. And those words have the life of God. When somebody say Jesus is Lord, or Jesus died to save you from your sins, or he left heaven to become a man to train us, and then he laid his life down and died for us. He shed his blood for us to wash away our sins. And then on the third day, he rose from the dead to justify us. And to anybody that believes, they're in the kingdom of God. When we hear that, we can tell, we can judge good and evil. We know that that's really true. Because the life of God is in those words. When we believe it, the life of God forms in us. When we apply it, we are in the kingdom of God in seed form. The word came in seed form and grew in our heart, and we believed it. And now we're part of God's kingdom. It's so easy. Some people will say, why would God make it so easy? You don't have to do nothing. He made it easy because we can't do nothing. And I've been explaining that our righteousness is not our acts. That's a result of being made righteous. If we do what's right, that's a result of being made righteous. If you plant corn and the corn grow up, that's a result of you planting the corn. So I don't have anything to brag about. If I do good, if my life becomes successful, if people see me in a greater way, it's not my fault. You can trace that back to the blood of Jesus. His blood was shed and he corrected me. He gave me a new heart. And Jesus bridged the gap between me and God, me and the Father. God became a man to bridge the gap. So man could go to the Father. And it's impossible. Hear me good. It's impossible to go to the Father around Christ. That never has happened since the fall, and it never will happen. And any religion that tell you can go to God without Christ, it's just a bunch of dead works. If a person is evil and they did a lot of bad things, then they regret it and they start doing right. That didn't make them righteous. The blood of Jesus makes them righteous. Now, it's good that they stop. There are many people that they do things, then they regret it, and they want help. They want to change. And that's valuable to God. These are the kind of people God can save. These are the kind of people God can help. And these are the only kind of people that when they believe, they'll go to hell because they are sincere. They attract God because they want to do right. But people that do that they grudgingly do right, and they have a passion for the world, they're the people that go back to the world. They fall out with God and go right on back to the world. But there are people out there struggling. They want to do right. They want to quit drinking. They want to quit being a prostitute. And they're trapped in their sin and in their ways. And they don't have anybody to tell them. And these are the kind of people I pray for every day. People are trapped in their misery ways. They don't want to be that way anymore. And they don't know how to change it. And most people think they can't change. But God loved him. He didn't give up on you. Now you're going to have to be receptive to the word of God. If you can receive God's word, your desires to do right can be, it'll come alive. That's why I tell people, if you're on drugs, if you drink, if you do whatever you're doing that's wrong, if you've gotten into pornography, you want to get out, get saved. Get saved. And God can help you out of this mess. That's the first step. First, you got to be right with God. And then you'll have the power to repent. Now, return from the sin and ask the Lord to save you. Ask him to forgive you. And you'll have power over sin. If you just try to master it yourself, you don't have the power to do that. And I've been talking about the heart. This is very important because when people, I love people, and I understand. When you come into the world, your spirit is lit. No matter what your parents did before, whether they were good or evil, your spirit is lit because you didn't do anything yet. You don't know everything yet. And the Lord don't judge children the way he judges adults. Unless they, when they come to the point that they understand right and wrong, then they have to believe on Jesus in order to be in the kingdom of God. But little babies don't know these things. And children don't understand. When they get to an age where they understand sin, God requires them to believe on Jesus for themselves. Otherwise, he's looking at the parents. Now, the Lord told me once that the first authority figures shape the way people see God. And people that come from a home where there's a lot of love and they love God, the children hear their parents praying. Something starts happening in the focus of that child. That child, they're going to see their parents go through trouble because the enemy attacked everybody. Not just bad people, but everybody. Good people, bad people, saved people, lost people. He tried to destroy everybody. But they pray. And the Lord moves in their life and things work out and the child gets a reference of what God can do. And so does everybody who watched people that do that. They start having a reference for the handiwork of God. That's why it's so important to win. Now, these broadcasts are on newlivingletters.com, newlivingletters.com. Everything on this website is free. And this broadcast is 30 minutes long. The first 15 minutes is on the air and the rest is on the website, newlivingletters.com. It's on the audio 4 page. We got 4 audio pages. And everything from 2015 and up is on that audio page, every broadcast. So let your friends know that it's free. And download the broadcast and share it with your people. Everybody needs to win in the Lord. When you see, when children grow up seeing their parents pray and God help them solve problems and they work things out biblically, they have a reference that God is love. But in the habits that the parents have, hear me good. It gets into the heart of the children. Now, I'm gonna share something that I've seen a long time. People that are prone to fuss a lot. Let's say the wife was upset with the husband because he didn't do right. He didn't take care of the family and she has an animosity. That animosity is in her heart and it's coming out. And then his animosity, he has animosity too, his views and his side of it. It's in his heart and it comes out. And if they stay together, they bicker. And if they separate, they still bicker. against each other. And the children, they're recording everything in their heart. And some people say, well, I don't want to be like my parents in that. I don't want the negative ways of my parents. And they try to learn better. But the things that we hear and see, it gets in our heart. So some people struggle with things because the wrong things have gotten in somewhere. And they want to do better and better and live like the word says they can. But they have to replace the negative things that they've seen and heard with the word of God. And they have to practice it, and the word of God will form in their heart, and they can drive out the old darkness. Now, some people, they rehash their parents' animosity for the rest of their life, and it becomes their way of communication. Now, whatever aggravated their parents, that's been gone. You know, the parents grow old and die. But the animosity is left like a legacy, because their children learn to communicate just like the parents. Now, they don't have the same animosity, but their style of communicating is on the same level, and it generates new problems that they will be aggravated over because they treat people rudely. They never learn to drive those old things out of their life. And their first thoughts is to fuss. That's because that's what got in their heart and it never got out. People live from the heart. The Lord once gave me a message saying, how do you see what you're looking at? The way you see things, the way you organize things in your mind and in your heart, the way you see things is shaped by the things that's inside your heart. We all need new vision. We have to have vision for the things of God. We have to have new vision in order to live the quality life, the blessed life that God has given us. Now remember, he gave us the kingdom, full potential to be just like, just to live like him. We grow from glory to glory. And we grow and we learn the character of Christ. And we incorporate that character in our lives, and then we're enhanced. And the things of our heart becomes new. And we live a new life. We put new wine in new wineskins. Our brand new heart is new wineskins. The word of God is new wine. Now, wineskins don't mean much to us. I said that in the last broadcast. We don't put wine in leather bottles anymore. We put it in glass bottles. But the analogy fit the day when Christ said it. You don't take an old life and put it in your new life. In your new heart. Fill your new heart with the word of God. Get rid of the old worldly ways. And bring inside the newness of God's ways. And you will become whole as a person. You can grow from glory to glory. And the things that trouble you now will be a thing of the past, gone and forgotten, compared to the newness of the life that you're going to enjoy. And your relationships will be better. People destroy their relationships, their marriages, with their mouth, because they speak out of animosity. They speak things that they shouldn't. The wrong things have gotten inside their heart. And whatever's in your heart comes out of your mouth. No man can tame the tongue. But if you bridle your tongue, you can bridle your whole body. If you can turn your tongue off, you can stop the fight. If you can control your tongue, if you can speak life Even in disaster, you can change the circumstances, the true facts on the ground. See, the problems is a fact, but they can be changed. As you grow in the Lord and do His will, you can go forward from glory to glory. You're not subject to the ways of this world anymore. The ways of this world is dead. You can do it God's way. You can hear what He has to say. You can know the truth and do it. See, God loves us. He don't give up on us. Anything you want to change, find the Word of God. Find the promises. Don't just try to act on them. Speak it. Read it every day. Just because you agree with it, you read it once or twice and you agree with it, that doesn't mean you got it. I learned that. If you want to make lasting change, you have to fill your heart with God's Word in that area. And it will become a living part of your life, a part of your routine. It'll get in your perceptions. And it'll help you see things the way God does. See, God, He looks at everything for what it is, and then He makes a decision. But people in the world that's trying to fight Satan, people that live here on earth, and they're under satanic attack, the world grooms people to look at something and react to it, whether they have all the information or not. If the enemy can get you to react to something, he can master your life. But when you don't have all the facts, people make decisions against salvation because they don't have all the facts. If nobody preached the gospel, they'll die without having all the facts. And they'll go to hell wishing that they would have made better decisions. That happens all the time. But I thank God for the Holy Spirit. That's why I say He's moving by the Holy Spirit. When there are people out there that's struggling and they won't change, God finds people that'll get the word to them to get them to rescue them. God calls the right person to be in their earshot to say the right thing at the right moment for them to hear and believe and get saved. And they get saved. Salvation sounds so weird to them, but it's true, and they know it's true, and they give it a chance. They give it a shot. I'm putting it that way because that's how people do. They may argue against the people that's speaking, but then when they go and consider what was said, it starts dawning on them that God loves them. And then somebody else will water that word. The kindness of somebody at the right time. Somebody helped them out and explained things to them. The word gets stronger. And the Holy Spirit is working with them. He know that they'll repent under certain conditions. So He set the stage and they do. And we come to the Lord. You know, a friend of mine, he was a comedian. A character. I mean, fun to be around. And he walked up to me one day. He said, "Man, Chris and James was telling me about the Bible." He said, it was payday that day. We worked together. He said, "I'm going to go buy me a Bible, and I'm going to go home and read it." And I looked. I said, "Now, he finna go to heaven. I'm going to hell." And I thought about that. I said, "Wait a minute. I don't need to go to hell." I said, "Crazy Earl going to, he going to, he finna go to hell, and I'm going to hell." I said, "Lord," I thought about it. I said, "Why am I out here? I said, I don't want to do wrong no more. Help me do right." I said, "Lord, I believe on Jesus Christ." I said, I asked Him to forgive me of all my sins. I was sorry I took so long. And I was sorry for every sin I ever did. I said, "Save me. I believe on Jesus Christ." And I felt the peace of God that day. And I got angry because I almost went to hell. Now I knew it was real. I knew for myself. I experienced salvation and it was good. I felt the change. And right before I asked the Lord to save me, the enemy said,
you're going to be bored. I said, I thought about it. I thought he was telling the truth. And I didn't know all about Satan like I do now. I said, I don't care. I'm going to do it. This is right. Jesus suffered for me. And I believe on Jesus. And man, I felt the peace of God. And guess what? I got a bonus out of it. Now, sometimes Christians can get bored. But I promise you, before the Lord, I have not been bored. I don't remember a bored moment in my life since 1983, the last Friday of 1983. I have not been bored since that day. I don't remember being, even if the lights went out. If you go to a doctor's office and you wait an hour and all you have is those magazines, I don't get bored then. It's tremendous. I don't get bored. I have not been bored since. I think that was a miracle. Sometimes when you get saved, you get a miracle bonus. Some people, they get saved and they have no taste for alcohol, no taste for cigarettes. Something's just snatched out of their life. That's not normal, folks. If that happened, that was a miracle. Now, don't go and sin no more. Don't pick it back up. Let it be. Let the dying things die. And let the life thrive in you. I just don't get bored for nothing. If I don't have anything to do and the lights are out, I can't watch TV, I just pray. Sometimes I just turn all that stuff off anyway and pray. Sometimes I want to do something that it may be raining, I can't ride my motorcycle or something. I just think about the things of God. My mind is always in motion. I don't get bored. That's a miracle bonus. And sometimes in life, when you make faithful decisions, you get a bonus with it. God is good, folks. He's not like the representation the world gives him. Don't go to hell letting the world explain who God is to you. They're going to lie. And don't trust phony religions. They lie to you. It's no good. People go and study these religions for you and get a doctrine in it, and it's no good. The whole thing is just a waste of time. But because there's no life in it. It's not sanctioned by God. God don't recognize it. You'll go to hell without an explanation. Fooling with worldly religions that men made. Doctrines of devils. They make doctrines too. They are students of the word of God so they can twist it. And some Christians give heed to seducing spirits. They lure them out there with the lust of the eye, lust of the flesh, pride of life. And then doctrines of devils. Things that just can't work. Things that's abominable. Lies. In some of the colleges that our pastors go to, they teach the pastors that healing went out with the apostles. There's a dead doctrine, a doctrine of a devil that God stopped calling apostles in the first place. But if you study the word for yourself, if you read the book of Ephesians chapter 4, Paul said God gave some apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers in that order for the edifying of the body, that we be not tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine. Now, he wrote that later on. And he didn't say that when God stopped calling apostles. He was an apostle. In fact, he said he was called out of time after the originals. Paul was not of the first 12. There were 12 that witnessed Christ. But Paul was called later on. He held the coat for Stephen. In fact, he got saved because a deacon preached the gospel. But, you know, Stephen was more than a deacon. I believe he was a teacher or either a prophet. But he was doing the work of a deacon when they killed him. But he preached the word, and Paul heard it because he was there. And then Jesus, he met Jesus on the road to Damascus. He said, "Who are you, Lord?" He answered his own question. "Who are you, Lord?" And Jesus said, "I am Jesus. Why do you persecute me? It's hard for you to kick against the pricks." The pricks were the word of God that he heard Stephen preach. And he got saved. And then he received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, spoke in tongues. And nobody trusted him. His Pharisee friends wanted to kill him. The church wanted to kill him too, because he was putting people in jail. He was kind of like if Bin Laden got saved. Who would trust Bin Laden? The terrorists wouldn't have, if he would have got saved, the terrorists wouldn't have wanted nothing to do with him. And then the American people would have wanted to kill him. So God had him go off to Arabia, not Bin Laden, but that's the situation Paul was in. And Paul studied, and he came back. God changed his name to Paul instead of Saul. It was Saul. And then God sent him to the Gentiles. They didn't care about who he was because they didn't know what he did.